notice that Thomas Vanek is available. You know, he's a top six forward, at least.
Top nine now.
He's not commanding $7 million over 7 years or whatever the offer sheet was the Oilers offered him 12 years ago back in the Kevin Lowe days.
Well, that would kind of close the circle because he came over from Austria and started playing minor hockey in Lacombe. So that would close the circle if he wound up playing for the Oilers. But he's already played for eight teams, including Detroit twice. And most of the teams he plays for are in the States, not in Canada. So it would be interesting. But I don't see it happening.
Well, you know, as far as what the Oilers need, someone who can play in their top six, a winger, somebody who's, well, Thomas Vanek from a dozen years ago. I mean, I guess Thomas Vanek, if he had joined the Oilers, he would have been their, probably would have been their top player, at least on paper. But you need someone to play with Connor McDavid.
They need somebody in their 20s to play with Connor McDavid. Or no, they need somebody in their 20s to play with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins because Leon Draisaitl can play with Connor McDavid. And it's unfortunate that the longest serving Oiler, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, been through a million coaches, lots of general managers, tons of players. It's like he's on an island by himself and they say, well, whoever we put you with, I guess you better do something with him. And, you know, Connor has Leon Draisaitl to play with and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has whomever they deem fit to put on the second line. And for the most part, they're third line players playing in the second line. And until they find a legitimate top six winger for Nugent-Hopkins to play with, there's a hole there. And teams can load up on trying to check, you know, Connor and Leon, because there's no second line alternative. There's a second line player in Nugent-Hopkins, but not a second line, you know, winger. So there you go.
Well, we're recording this Oil Spills podcast on Tuesday, July 2. So the day after the opening day of free agency, and I'm Craig Ellingson, the host, with Hockey Hall of Fame writer Jim Matheson. And, well, we do have a long summer ahead. I mean, you know, the season doesn't start till October 2nd for the Oilers. Training camp will break in the middle of September. So GM Ken Holland has time to see if he can add some kind of a player, a winger, forward, who can play in that role. And if it's not going to come via free agency, and you look at the list of who's available, I mentioned Thomas Vanek. He did score 16 goals last year, but he's, like you said, he's more top nine than top six. He's not 23 anymore like he was in 2007. He's 35.
That ship has sailed.
Sailed a long time ago.
I mean, in a perfect world, he would have got, you know, Gustav Nyquist for the same money he was making last year, $4.7 million on a four-year deal, a player who's 29 years old right now, not somebody who's 35, and he could plug Nyquist in, Ken Holland, who had him in Detroit, and legitimately say, okay, we have one second line winger for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to play with. But he doesn't, and he's going to have to trade. I mean, he's going to have to trade for a winger and give up a defenseman, I think, for a winger. And I think he's hoping that a lot of these young defensemen from the minors come up and can play, can show they can play. And if so, then he can trade one of the defensemen for a winger. And I don't see any other way out of it. With the cap space he's got, he's not going to be able to sign anybody with, you know, he spent $1.3 million on Marcus Granlund. He spent $2.1 million on bringing back Alex Chiasson. He spent $2 million plus bonuses on Mike Smith. So he's still got about, you know, $5 to $6 million left. But he wants to keep $1.5 million aside in case there's, you know, something happens later in the summer. Maybe there's somebody on waivers he wants to pick up and pay the salary and stuff. So there's nothing there in terms of making a trade. And not good enough players out there to bring in as free agents. Nobody's going to come in you're not getting Marcus Johansson or anybody like that who's still available for a couple of million dollars. So he's hooped.
I know you've been beating the drum, and so have other people, about the whole Nick Ehlers idea in Winnipeg, since Winnipeg does have to make, you know, at least a couple of big signings. But, you know, their landscape changed yesterday. You know, Tyler Myers did go elsewhere. You know, he commanded a fairly pretty penny from the Vancouver Canucks. So that salary's not on the books anymore. And obviously the Jets, you know, have remade things. I mean, Jacob Trouba's
they need a right defenseman.
Yeah.
The Oilers have a right defenseman in Adam Larson, but then if the Oilers would make that deal, then the Oilers have precious few right shot defensemen left. You know, Klefbom shoots left, Nurse shoots left, Russell shoots left. Matt Benning is a right shot defenseman, but he's a third pairing defenseman, so they don't have a lot of right shot D. So it's the old, you know, taking one apple out of this basket for an orange in another basket. So are they any further ahead? I guess they are, because Ehlers is might be a little more dynamic than Adam Larson is, but I don't know if that's a deal. And I think if I'm the Winnipeg Jets, I go to the Buffalo Sabres, who have about 12 defensemen signed, and ask them if they can get Ristolainen out of their straight-up swap for Nicholas Ehlers, $6 million for $6 million, and then they get a young defenseman too.
Well, I think Ken Holland's got some – obviously he's got work to do. Everybody knew that. He knew that when he was hired 2 months ago. And this is I don't know if you're going to be able to really judge Ken Holland after this offseason. I mean, obviously this Oilers fans have not seen a playoff team 12 of the last 13 seasons. And, you know, chances are without the Oilers going out and making a deal to upgrade – their forward, their winger position, I don't know if we're going to be able to see anything that's much different, because you don't know how players are going to develop, and you know how these young players will be improved from last year. You're hoping that, you know, they have another year under their belts, another year's experience, and you're hoping and waiting for people to break out.
Well, perceptibly, is this team better than it was last year going into the season? Not really. I guess Granlund is a solid, you know, fourth line, really good penalty killer signing. But Mike Smith, last year they had Cam Talbot, this year they have Mike Smith with Koskinen. So the goaltending is kind of a wash. Alex Chiasson is back, so they're not bringing in another body. Five of the players had career years last year, you know, with Draisaitl and McDavid and Nugent Hopkins and Chiasson and Cassian. Are they all going to have, is Cassian going to score 15 goals again this year? Yes, if he plays with McDavid and Draisaitl. Maybe not if he goes back to being a third line right winger. Is Chiasson going to score 22 goals? Probably not, because he got a lot of time with McDavid last year. And he got 8 goals in the power play. Probably won't, he's more of a 15 goal scorer. So that's 7 goals less than last year. They're bringing in a couple of European forwards. Nygaard and Haas, a Swiss player. But anytime you're bringing in a European player who's never played in the NHL, it's a roll of the dice. You know, can he play? How much can he contribute right away? Most European players the Oilers have brought in over time have been role players. Leonard Petrell and you know, Korpikoski and whomever else they've had, they've been fourth line players. They don't score much. So that remains to be seen. Not to be a negative Charlie, but this team does not look like a team that's going to make the playoffs right now. It's the same team, basically. It doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs. LA doesn't, and neither does Anaheim, you know, on paper. But Vancouver looks like they've improved themselves a little bit, certainly on defense. They could be better. So, you know, Vegas will make the playoffs. San Jose will make the playoffs for sure. In the Pacific Division. So I guess it remains to be seen who else does, but it's a roll of the dice for the Oilers. And Ken Holland he's being praised for being not throwing money at people that don't deserve money on free agency. And he's got lots of prospect defensemen and a few prospect forwards. But I think he also has to deal in the now, and I'm sure he is. You know, can they go another year with McDavid and Dreisaitl, the top of their game, not being in the playoffs without, you know, them saying, okay, help us now. You know, it's nice to have these prospects coming, but help us now. And the fans probably thinking the same thing. That's dealing the present too, for a team that's missed the playoffs 12 of the last 13 years.
Like what you heard today? Get more of the Edmonton Journal's and the Edmonton Sun's award-winning journalism complimentary for 30 days at edmontonjournal.com/podcast or edmontonsun.com/podcast. Or both. Why not? You know, when thinking about, you know, the prospect of trading one of your defensemen to try to get that forward to play in your top six, you know, the Oilers buying out Andrei Sekera, while they needed to do that to gain more cap room, if you're looking at dealing another one of your veteran defensemen to get this forward, are you perhaps kneecapping your defense by doing that?
Well, you are right now. I think the Oilers perhaps feel that the defenseman William Lagesson plays a similar shutdown role to Adam Larson. But I believe Lagesson's a left shot defenseman and Larson's a right shot defenseman. Ethan Bear is a minor league defenseman. He's a right shot. Do they think that in time, Caleb Jones, who shoots left, could be could be a shutdown guy? Yes, but he shoots left. And he's, you know, they need right shot defensemen, and Bouchard's a right shot defenseman, but he's not ready to play yet in the league. So I don't know. They are kneecapping themselves, you know, by trading a defenseman for a forward, but I don't see any other way out of it, to be honest, to get a forward. In a perfect world, if the Oilers had drafted Jesse Puljujärvi and he turned out to be as good as Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary or Dubois in Columbus, they'd be fine. They'd have their top six winger in Puljujärvi, but, you know, he's getting traded or he's going back to Finland, so that's not happening.
Do you entertain the idea of dealing Nugent Hopkins? He's coming off a career year. He's, you know, been with the team a long time, and his contract is going to expire here in the next couple of years, with the hopes of bringing in, you know, a player and maybe a second that could translate eventually into the...
Maybe, but if you trade a center for a winger, it's not an even-up deal. Usually, centers are more valuable than a winger. You would trade a center for a defenseman who's a really good defenseman. I think what the Oilers have to consider themselves with Nugent Hopkins is he's got 2 years left in his contract, but after this season, he's going into his final year, and then he's going to be unrestricted free agent. He's making six now, so what's he going to cost the Oilers after, you know, in not this season, but after the season down the road? Is it going to be $8 million? Then you're going to have $8.5 million and one player, Dreisaitl, eight in Nugent Hopkins, and $12.5 million and Connor McDavid, and even more money spent on just three players. So they're going to have to make up their mind pretty soon on Nugent Hopkins. But right now, they need him. You know, they need him on their team. And they got to hope these defensemen come quickly so they can trade one of their defensemen. I think that's the way I see it. But it's difficult in today's NHL to be a top four defenseman. You can make the roster as a top six, but moving into a top four where you're always going against the other team's first pairing, first line or second line, it's difficult, and a lot of young players aren't equipped to doing that. So it's very much a balancing act. And I know Ken Holland takes a look, as he said yesterday, takes a look at his board. He's got all the players on it. He's not dumb. He sees the same things we do, that he's got three premier players, all centers, basically, because Drysdale's normally a center, and no wingers with any pedigree to score 20 goals. So he knows what's up, but he also knows that his hands are tied in terms of who does he trade to get that winger, and there's not a lot of marketability with a lot of the older players to get that, high-end winger. Not when you're missing the playoffs. There's not a lot of teams dying for a lot of the older players. And in Klefbom's case, Oscar Klefbom, he's got a very nice contract at $4 million. So does Larson at $4 million in today's game. You don't really want to trade players who play a lot of minutes making only $4 million in a day's game.
But, I mean, that...
But you gotta do something to shake things up, I guess. But right now, for sure, Klefbom and Nurse are their best two defensemen. And Larson would have been, but he's coming off a poor year by his standards. So his marketability is not as high as it was before. I don't know. I mean, their roster is still so flawed. No top six winger, no third line center. That's what they wanted. They had to go out and get a third line center with some offensive ability. Didn't get one, and didn't get a top six winger. Still holes.
But I always go back to, you can't expect to acquire a Taylor Hall level player when you're trading a defenseman. But if whether that's Adam Larson or it's Oscar Klefbom, or heaven forbid, if you're putting Darnell Nurse on the table, you should be able to get that winger back.
Well, you should. And there are other teams getting pretty creative at this time of year, mostly the Leafs, to wheel and deal. And Colorado's the same way. They're picking up players, trading players. I think what has to happen with a general manager is, if you're trading player A for somebody else who plays a different position, then you have to have somebody, player C, who can take the other guy's on your team, you're trading his spot, or you've left the hole there. If you have somebody willing and able to take that spot, then you're fine. But I remember when the Oilers traded Jason Smith, they figured that Matt Green could be Jason Smith. They had Matt Green ready to be Jason Smith. But you need somebody ready to take, if the Oilers are going to trade, say, Adam Larson, then you better have somebody ready to in your pipeline who can be Adam Larson, or you can't trade Adam Larson.
As a bit of an aside, how important is the right shot versus left shot thing with defense?
More important than it used to be. It didn't, used to matter.
Jason Smith was a right-hand shot.
Yeah,
I think Matt Green was a left. Not that you were doing that exact same swap.
It didn't used to be a big deal until Mike Babcock decided, when he was coaching these Olympic teams, he had to have a righty and a lefty. Right, left, right, left, right, left. And then everybody wants one now. I guess it's... there are left defensemen that can somehow play right. Very rarely would you get a right shot defenseman who can play on the other side. They're right shot. They play right shot. Like Sekera and Russell are left shot guys, but they can seemingly play both sides. So getting a pure right shot defenseman helps the balance with a lefty and a righty, I think. Certainly in the top four, top two pairs of defensemen. But is it as important as getting a right shot center? Probably the same. You got to take faceoffs. You need right shot centers, of which the Oilers have precious few. Right now, they have Sam Gagner, who I think they feel is a winger. They have Kyle Brodziak, who was in and out of the lineup last year, and This Gaetan Haas from Switzerland is a right shot center. But Drysdale shoots left. McDavid shoots left. Nugent Hopkins shoots left. Colby Cave is a left shot center. Granlund, they brought in from Vancouver, is a left shot player. So they're heavily left shot guys and hardly any right shot centers. And I don't think you can, get by without two right shot centers in your 12 forwards that you dress most nights.
Going back to goaltending, you know, adding Mike Smith to pair with Mikko Koskinen, do you think that is a wash? I mean, Mike Smith's an upgrade on, well, clearly the guy that finished the year as the backup, Anthony Stolarz. But I think, you know, considering his performance last year, particularly heading into the playoffs and in the playoffs.
He was really good in the second half of the year with a 2.28 goal average and really good in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play very well in the first half. I think part of that was mental. In his own head, he wasn't happy that the younger Rittich was playing and he was sitting. And then when he did play, he didn't play very well. But he dug in the second half and played much better. I think Ken Holland is right. Brad Treleving is right. Most GMs are right now. You need two goalies who can play around 40 games. You know, it's very rare you can find one goalie who can play 65 and then you just have a $750,000 backup. You need two goalies reasonably capable who can push one another, and I think that's what they're trying to get with Mike Smith. Because Koskinen last year did not prove when Cam Talbot got traded that he could play every game. He played every game and his game dropped off. He wasn't used to playing every game. And so he needs to be pushed. And in a perfect world, that $4.5 million you're paying for Koskinen, he'll be the starter and Mike Smith will only play 35 games and the other guy will play 50, you know, 50-ish, you know, high 40s anyway. But no matter who they're picking up, their goaltending is average, just average. And on a team with Dave Tippett, perhaps they'll have a more structured system like Barry Trotz in Long Island, and they won't give up the chances that they would have given up in the past, which make the goalies look not very good. And maybe they'll cut them down as they did in Long Island last year, where suddenly Leonard and Grice, you know, win the Jennings Trophy for the best goal average in the league after the year before where they were, you know, they gave up a ton of chances. So I mean, I'm sure that's protect the goalies you've got a little better than in the past and they'll look better. I guess that's what's got to happen.
That's the Oil Spills podcast for today. Subscribe to Oil Spills on iTunes and Google Play. You can also listen to it via the Edmonton Journal and Edmonton Sun apps and websites.